everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is paulsevangel.com. Again, it's paulsevangel.com. And for those of you who are listening, you'll notice, if you're familiar with our program, we don't have any introduction here. We decided to dispense with some of the time that's in production here so we can focus completely on the message. We trust that you're here not for entertainment value, but for the substance of what we're going to be teaching. Again, our ministry is Cross and Throne Ministries. Our website is paulsevangel.com, heralding Paul's Evangel to the nations. That is our goal, to bring Paul's Evangel, to herald it to the nations. And we feel a great burden in doing this because God has put it on our hearts to proclaim this great message of grace, and as we find it in the letters of the Apostle Paul. Now, to help you, to help better understand the Word of God, especially Paul's Evangel, we have some tools to help you. First of all, most importantly, the Scriptures themselves. The sacred Scriptures are the most important thing you need to have, and to help facilitate studies, we provide to you the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, which is the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures and the Greek Scriptures. Now, the Concordant Literal Old Testament is in 5 volumes currently. You can buy the whole set. And if you'd like to get a copy of that, you can give us a call. But we have available the Concordant New Testament at Cross and Throne Ministries. You can go to paulsevangel.com to get a copy of that. But if you do have any questions, please give us a call. Our number is 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. We are today going to talk about the stupidity of God. The stupidity of God. Now, that may sound like a strange phrase at first, but we're going to find that it's a scriptural phrase. And I want to read to you from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, Paul says this, "For Christ does not commission me to be baptizing." And by the way, the apostles, the 12 apostles, Peter could not say that. Water baptism was part of their commission. It was not part of Paul's commission, even though he did practice it. "For Christ does not commission me to be baptizing, but to be bringing the evangel." So I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. It's the evangel that's God's power to salvation, not water baptism. Water baptism gets you wet. It does not justify you. Paul talks about a message of justification, not pardon, but justification. Peter, in Acts 2, when he talked about repentance and baptism, it's because his message was pardon to the nation of Israel. Paul brings the message of justification to the nations. Justification is permanent. Pardon is not permanent. Pardon can be withdrawn, and you'll see that when you study the Gospels. All the confusion today that we have is because people are not distinguishing or differentiating between Paul's evangel to the nations and the 12 apostles to the nation of Israel. Paul is preaching. He has an evangel that is not water baptism, but he says he wants to bring the evangel not in wisdom of word. In other words, he doesn't have to say it with flowery language. And he doesn't have to be a great speaker. You don't have to be a Patrick Henry to proclaim this message. It's not in wisdom of word, lest the cross of Christ may be made void. If you introduce human ability into the message of the cross, the evangel, you've ruined it. You've taken the power away from it. And yet today we live in an era where you have to go to college and learn how to preach before you can give a message. That's contrary to what Paul says and contrary to the whole spirit of the message proclaimed. Now, Paul says in verse 18, "For the word of the cross," notice it's the word of the cross, "is stupidity indeed to those who are perishing, yet to us who are being saved it is the power of God." So the word of the cross is considered stupidity to those who are perishing. Why is it considered stupidity? Because the word of the cross speaks of a Savior who had to die such a horrible death. I'm going to read to you a comment from A.E. Knox's Concordant Commentary. And by the way, I forgot to mention that the Concordant Commentary and the Concordant Literal New Testament go together. You should have them both. And here's what he says in this passage. "The word of the cross has a far deeper significance than the death of Christ for our sins. It brings before us the manner of his death." Did you hear that? "The curse of the law was attached to such a death. It brought down the curse of God. On the human side, however, it showed what human religion and wisdom can do. When God's image was present among men, they not only failed to appreciate him, but displayed the innate hatred of their carnal religious hearts by dooming him to death, to the death of the vilest criminal. He who spoke as never man spoke should have been welcomed by the wise men of the world, but they showed the essential stupidity of human wisdom by gibbeting the embodiment of all wisdom upon the ignominious cross. There's some hard words there. Yet God has made that scene of weakness and shame the brightest exhibition of his power and glory. Though it seems to sound the depths of powerless infamy, it eclipses all the power and wisdom of men. So the cross, the message of the cross is stupidity of mankind. It sounds like the craziest thing in the depth of infamy, and yet it's beyond any human power. It eclipses all the power and wisdom of men. So Paul says, for the word of the cross is stupidity indeed to those who are perishing, yet to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I shall be destroying the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of the intelligent shall I be repudiating. Why is Paul bringing this up? Because in Corinth, the Corinthian ecclesia was glorying in human wisdom. They were glorying in education. And there are groups of believers today who think they start classical colleges because they think that the goal of Christianity is to become very intelligent in worldly literature. But that's not so. Paul says here, I shall be destroying the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of the intelligent shall I be repudiating. Where is the wise, Paul says? Where is the scribe? Where is the discusser of the CN? He's calling them out, saying, you guys, where are you? Does not God make stupid the wisdom of this world? Ponder that. Does not God make stupid the wisdom of this world? For since, he says, in fact, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God. Did you hear this? How did God make the wisdom of this world stupid? Because the world, through wisdom, knew not God. The goal of all modern education and education in general in this world it does not recognize God. It never found out God. So for since, in fact, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom knew not God, God delights through the stupidity of the heralding to save those who are believing. God delighted that it was God's wisdom that the world through its own wisdom did not know him. This was God's wisdom. God was wise, and he decided that the world's wisdom would never find him out. He designed it that way. Why? Because he wanted the world's wisdom to exhaust itself, to show its own ignorance and its own inability, so that God would delight through the stupidity of heralding to save those who are believing. Now, I want you to notice here, in the concordant version it reads, God delights through the stupidity of the heralding. Not only the message is stupid, but the method is stupid. The message is stupid and the method. God chose a man like Paul, whose bodily presence was contemptible and his speech wasn't very good, as we're going to read here in Corinth, if you keep on reading here in Corinth, that he says here his heralding was not with persuasive words of human wisdom. And Paul was chosen by God to herald this message. Now, heralding is like a man who stands and represents the king with an official message, and he heralds it to those who need to hear it. Paul was a herald, and later on he tells Timothy to herald the word. But God delights through the stupidity of the heralding to save those who are believing, since, in fact, Jews signs are requiring. Now, the Jew represents the religious man. Jews, what are they requesting? They're requesting signs. And Greeks, wisdom are seeking. So what does the Greek represent? He represents the pagan man. So the religious man and the pagan man. The Jew signs are requesting, and Greeks wisdom are seeking, yet we are heralding Christ crucified. Now notice that. This is neither a sign nor wisdom. This neither satisfies the desire of the religious man or the pagan man. A man who heralds Christ crucified, it doesn't satisfy a religious man or a pagan man. So Paul says here, yet we are heralding Christ crucified. To Jews, indeed, a snare, yet to the nation, stupidity. Now, what is a snare? A snare is something you trip on. And to give an example of this, not too long ago, I was in New Orleans, and I was walking down one of the main streets there in New Orleans on a business trip. And I was walking, and I noticed there was this very large building to my right. And as I'm walking, looking at this large building, I ended up tripping on a curb, and I fell forward. It was very embarrassing. But this is kind of what he's talking about the Jews. This was a snare. They were looking for their Messiah to come and at his first advent to wipe out the Romans and set up his kingdom. But what they weren't expecting was a Messiah, a suffering Messiah. And it was a stumbling block to them. It was a snare to them. And Christ crucified is indeed a snare to them. So Paul says, yet we are heralding Christ crucified to Jews indeed a snare. They were looking for something big, a powerful Messiah, and he will be, because that part is true. But they did not expect the suffering Messiah. And because they only looked for the powerful, big, giant Messiah, they were snared. They tripped like I did when I was looking at the big building. I didn't notice the curb. And so here, it's to the Jews indeed a snare, yet to the nation stupidity. It's considered stupid, yet to those who are called. See that? There are three kinds of people here. You have the Jew, the Greek, and the called. A Jew is a religious man, a Greek is a pagan man, and then we have those who are called. I am not religious and I'm not pagan. We are not religious people, we're believers. We're called. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you're a believer in the message of the cross of Christ, it will never find acceptance in the seminaries and in the news broadcasts. Now, you to prove that, you will find that you never see any religious man on TV bragging about the cross work of Jesus Christ and preaching a salvation by faith alone, based on the finished work of Christ alone. You will never see a man invited on CNN or TBN or any of the Christian so-called radio stations or TV stations or even the secular ones, where they're going to go out there and proclaim a message that the best that man can do is no good, and that God is the total Savior, and he saves man freely. He justifies them gratuitously in his grace. We are saved in grace through faith, in that not of ourselves. It's not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works, lest any man should boast. For in grace through faith are you saved. And this is not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. For in grace through faith are you saved. And this is not out of you. It is not out of you. You can't tell that to a PhD today. You can't tell that to people who have a high opinion of themselves, that it's not out of them. It is God's approach present, not of works, lest any man should be boasting. That's why the word of the cross is stupidity indeed to those who are perishing, to tell them that it took a Savior to die the worst kind of death. Cross, the cross. The world's wisdom deemed the power of God worthy of the worst death possible, the cross. Well, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is paulsevangel.com is our website. paulsevangel.com. Please go there. Get a copy of the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary on the New Testament, the two most important tools that you will need, and we hope you go there. This is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, our number 847-312-4676. We are heralding Paul's evangel to the nations.